everyone, and welcome to Murder and Mysteries with Megan. If you are new here, welcome. And if you're not new here, welcome back. I'm grateful for each and every one of you that are here today. But without further ado, let's get into what's really important today. Today's case is one of two beautiful, smart young women. These young ladies had their lives taken entirely too soon, and unfortunately, the perpetrator of this crime still remains free. Now, before we get into this case, I do want to give you a heads up. At this time, there's not a whole lot of information that we as the public do have. So now that you have this heads up, let me tell you about the information that we are aware of. Today, we're going to talk about the murders of Abigail Williams and Liberty German, also known as the Delphi murders, or in some instances, the Snapchat murders. They took place in Delphi, Indiana, a very small town. Now, Delphi, Indiana is only home to about 3,000 residents, where everyone kind of knows everyone else. And it's not a place where people usually lock their doors or are afraid to let their children go out for the day. In fact, they feel very comfortable there. That was until February of 2017, when the entire community of Delphi, Indiana were shocked to its core. Abigail Williams and Liberty German were 8th graders at Delphi Community Middle School. Abby was 13 and Libby was 14. Abby was said to have loved reading and drawing, photography, and she was a little bit shy. Now Libby, on the other hand, was a little bit more outgoing and outspoken, and she was said to be athletic and would stand up to bullies. She also had dreams of becoming a science teacher. Both of the girls played the saxophone and even played volleyball together. The girls were said to be very good and kind girls with a bright future ahead of them. Even though the girls' personalities were so different, they both loved their families and had a lot of things in common. They both were said to have loved true crime and things of that nature as well. And this knowledge and affinity for true crime actually ended up helping in the police investigation later on. Of course, Abby and Libby were typical best friends. They liked to hang out with each other and talk about all the things that were going on in their lives, doing art, watching movies, things of that nature. Well, on the night of February 12th of 2017, the girls decided they wanted to have a sleepover since they didn't have school the following day. So Libby invited Abby over and Abby went to spend the night at Libby's house. This night was nothing out of the ordinary. In fact, it was said to be quite unextraordinary that night. The girls just did some painting, watched some movies, and things like that before heading off to bed. The next morning, on February 13th of 2017, Abby and Libby get up to a beautiful day in Delphi, Indiana. This day was quite mild in the weather, and it was bright and sunny, and the girls wanted to get out and enjoy nature. Before they left, they had gotten up and had breakfast and did a little bit more painting before deciding that they wanted to go to the Monon High Bridge Trails for a walk that afternoon. But first, the girls had to figure out how they were going to get there. So Abby and Libby go upstairs to ask Kelsey German, Libby's older sister, if she could give them a ride over to the Monon High Bridge Trails that day. Kelsey told the girls that she'd be happy to give them a ride over there, but first they had to get permission, and they also had to figure out a ride home after they got finished with their hike, because Kelsey was going on to her boyfriend's house that afternoon to hang out, and she wouldn't be able to pick up the girls. Abby and Libby ended up getting permission to be able to go to walk on the Monon High Bridge Trails that day, and they also arranged for Derek German, Libby's father, to pick them up once they'd finished. So all three girls piled into Kelsey's car and head off to the Monon High Bridge Trails. They arrived there about 1:45 p.m. When Abby and Libby were getting out of the vehicle, Kelsey reminded the girls to grab their jacket and then told Libby that she loved her and goodbye. Abby and Libby then parted ways with Kelsey and headed down the Monon High Bridge Trails. Now, Monon High Bridge is what used to be part of the Monon Rail Line. It was actually built back in the 1890s and was in service until about the 1980s, actually. However, for the last 30 to 40 years, it has not been used. In fact, it's just over time with the weather and everything has started to decay. Now, this old bridge is not one that is just about 10 feet up and, falling apart, things like that. This bridge is 60 feet high. It is said to be the third tallest bridge in Indiana. So this is a bridge that it's falling apart and decaying. There are gaps with between the ties on the bridge, and if someone were to fall from this height, they could seriously be injured. So because of this is actually outlawed to be able to walk across this bridge, and they've made some changes to the trail over the years because of this. But of course, that does not stop young teenagers and tourists and sightseers, along with locals alike, from going out to the Monin High Bridge Trail and taking photographs. This area is absolutely beautiful. It has a great view, and the old bridge just is a cool aesthetic, I guess, for the pictures. So, in fact, this is actually what Abby and Libby, we know, did around 2 p.m. that day. About 2:07 p.m., the girls were actually on the actual bridge by this point. We know this because at this time, Libby took a photograph of Abby on the bridge and then posted it to her Snapchat. We also know that the girls took other photographs and other videos while they were out on their hike that day. However, it wasn't long before it seemed like that afternoon would take an awful turn. Libby and Abby started to feel uneasy. Apparently, a man had been following them. In fact, from press interviews and things of that nature later on, we actually find out that one of the videos that Libby recorded, you can hear the girls talking and asking if that creepy man is still following them. So there was obviously some uneasiness that the girls felt because of this guy being on the trails with them as well. And he had obviously been following them to make them really wonder what was going on and what his true intentions were. Now, between 3 and 3:30 p.m., Derek German had arrived to pick up the girls. He tried calling Libby's phone multiple times. There was no answer. Eventually, the phone started going to voicemail. Of course, at this point, Derek started to get a little bit worried, wondering where the girls were, and started calling family members to try to check in and see if maybe they had heard from the girls, if some wires had gotten crossed, and maybe someone else had come to pick them up, what exactly was going on, and where the girls were, to try to get some answers there. Now, as I mentioned before, when Libby's father tried calling her cell phone, she did not pick up. And what made this strange is that this was not usual for Libby to do. In fact, she was very responsible when it came to keeping in touch with her family and answering her phone calls, things like that. Initially, Libby's father did not think that anything was wrong, except for maybe the girls had either lost track of time taking photographs on the trail, that maybe they had gotten turned around, something like that, and that they couldn't get back on time to meet him. Now, after Derek called family members to check in to see if anyone had heard from Abby and Libby and found out that no one had, other family members came and met Derek, and they started walking the trails themselves to see if maybe they could meet up with the girls and, everybody could go home safe and sound. They walked towards the bridge itself and then went back down the opposite way on the trail as well to see if maybe they had gone that way. No one was able to find the girls. When they couldn't locate the girls at 5:30 p.m. on February 13th, 2017, Abby and Libby's families reported them missing. By 6 p.m. that evening, law enforcement and other individuals were already out in full force searching for Abby and Libby. Of course, they knew by Libby's Snapchat, they kind of had a way to track and see where they knew the girls to be last, and that was Monin High Bridge. So, of course, searchers went all over the trails by the bridge itself, looking for the girls, trying to find them. And later in that evening, around midnight, searchers had to call off the search due to lack of visibility and things like that because the terrain was so dangerous in the area. However, at the time that they called off the search, no one was particularly thinking the worst at this point. Like I said, Delphi had been known to be a very safe community. Nothing like this had happened before. In fact, even the sheriff at the time mentioned that they had no reason to believe that the girls were in any danger. The next morning was Valentine's Day. February 14th of 2017, and search is resumed. People from the community, there were search dogs, there were drones. They even had a dive team out there searching for these girls, trying to find them. As time passed, of course, the family's worries intensified. Even though the girls had been missing for a few hours the day before, and now they were into the next day, none of the family feared the worst. They just thought the girls had gotten lost and that they would find their way back and everyone could go home safely. However, around noon that day, a shoe was found down by the water's edge of Deer Creek. It was one of the girls. What seemed like just moments later, their fears grew into devastation. Searchers had found the bodies of Abigail Williams and Liberty German, only about a quarter to a half a mile from the bridge where the girls had been less than 24 hours before. Now, the girls' bodies, where they were located and found, was said to have been on a private property line that a 77-year-old man named Ron Logan owned. However, it's been announced over time that he is not considered a suspect in this case. Less than 24 hours before this, the girls had gone for a walk on the trails in a seemingly safe town, taking pictures and doing what girls should be doing, kids should be doing, enjoying nature on a beautiful day, only for it to turn into an absolute nightmare for them and their families. These two young ladies had had their lives taken far too soon. Later on, there was a candlelight vigil that more than 600 people showed up to in the community to show their support. There was also a press conference that was held in regards to this heinous crime. During the first initial press conference, the Delphi police notified the public that during their search, they were able to recover Libby's phone. This is also where they got even more pertinent information to the case. By the next day, they released some information, however, not very much. As I mentioned before, we don't have any information on the actual crime scene itself, other than the fact that Libby's phone was found, that the bodies were posed in some sort of fashion, and that the killer left a few calling cards, so to speak. However, we don't know what any of this actually is, or what it looked like, or how it was. The police then released a photograph on February 15th of the man that appeared to be walking towards the girls on Monon High Bridge. On the 22nd of February, they released a voice recording. They said that they believed this to be the perpetrator or one of the perpetrators that took the lives of the girls. They did not elaborate any further other than stating that this recording was potentially during criminal activity. They also notified that the autopsy did reveal that this indeed was a homicide, but there were no details of the autopsy released either. Of course, over time, there's been a lot of speculation over the crime scene, what happened to the girls, and who the potential murderer could be. However, 5 months later, they released the first sketch of this potential suspect. They urged everyone in the area to take a close look at the sketch, to come forward with any information by either calling or emailing any tips. They also stated that this information for the sketch came from a witness in the area who remained anonymous. It was said that his description is 5'6" to 5'10", that he was 180 to 220 pounds with reddish brown hair. Of course, at this point, tips came flooding in from different residents around town, which led to many follow-up interviews and leads that actually followed. But police later on asked that the public be very careful when talking about this and potential suspects, because without any real evidence, this could either hinder the case and even potentially harm innocent people's lives. In September of 2017, Daniel Nations, a known sex offender, was a person of interest and was arrested. He was actually arrested in Colorado for threatening people on a trail with an axe, and that there were some similarities between that case and Abby and Libby's case. However, those similarities weren't released. By February of 2018, the police released a statement that they did not believe any longer that Daniel Nations was involved. On January 8th of 2019, a man named Charles Eldridge was brought in because he actually had quite a strong resemblance to the sketch that was released. However, they never actually named him as a person of interest. Paul Etter is another name as well that comes up as someone having a possible connection to these murders. Despite this, no arrests were made and no proof was given that any of these men were involved. By 2019, still no answers had been given as to who took the lives of these two innocent girls, despite over 40,000 tips and 1,100 different leads followed. So in April of that year, I believe it was the 22nd actually, 2 years after the original crime took place, Delphi Police Department, after searching for this person and working with FBI and the state police, still had no answers that they could give to the public or anything at all. And they held a press conference. This press conference would actually give us a little bit more information than what we had before. This time, the press conference actually answered a few more questions. They also addressed the killer and they released a little bit more of the voice recording that they had originally released, adding one more word to this recording, the word "guys," followed by "down the hill." Another thing that they released was an actual video from Libby's phone. This we would come to know as the video of BG, or Bridge Guy, crossing towards the girls on Monon High Bridge. The investigators of this case also released a video from Libby's phone where she had recorded the man actually walking across Monon High Bridge towards them. In fact, it looked like the photograph that was originally released actually was a screen grab from this video that they were now releasing 2 years later. Now, the reason that this press conference caused such a commotion, they released a sketch of the suspect. What blew everyone's minds is that this second sketch that came out looked nothing like the original sketch. This new sketch looked like a younger man, potentially maybe 20s, 30, something like that, not very old. It also appeared that he had no facial hair. There was no hat. His facial features were completely different. They looked like two totally different people. The man in the first sketch seemed to be a bit heavier than the guy in the second. Of course, the first sketch, he looked a lot older than the second sketch. There were so many differences in these. People wondered why now this new sketch was coming out. Police actually stated that they had this sketch 3 days after the girl's murder. They also stated that they hadn't originally wanted to release this. It was something that was pertinent to the case. They were trying to keep as much information close to the chest as possible. That the suspect is a white male. Now he could be between the ages of 18 and 40. That he could or could not have facial hair. His hair may have grown. He may have shaved or cut off his facial hair. Things of that nature. He was between 180 and 200 pounds. And that he was approximately 5'6" to 5'8". Doug Carter also mentioned that they released this sketch, stating that he didn't believe the individual knew that they were going to do that. He said that he thought it was really, really important that they kind of shocked the perpetrator by releasing the second sketch. He also said, "I think he was probably there and or watching, simply because he thought we were on the wrong path." And he stated that they were also going to go in a new direction. He said that he also believed that the perpetrator would be a combination of the two sketches. Another thing that they mentioned in this press conference is that they also believe that the perpetrator either lives in Delphi, frequents Delphi, works in Delphi, or has some connection. Carter also mentions that during their investigation that the ties on the bridge were rotting, that it swayed back and forth, and that this is not something that without walking the bridge before that you could do very easily. In my honest opinion, it seems that Superintendent Doug Carter is quite invested in this case. You can tell that it really has affected him over time and that he just wants answers for Abby, Libby, and their families. In fact, he states in this conference, "This wasn't the first time that he's been on High Bridge. In my opinion," again, that's my opinion, "I experienced it and I kept a piece of High Bridge and I will carry it with me until we find out who this is." So not only does Doug Carter believe that this perpetrator is going to be kind of a composite of the two sketches, that he is connected to Delphi, and that this man had walked across the bridge before, because this is just not something that can be done very easily. Besides releasing the video, more audio, a new sketch, etc. during this conference, the Indiana State Police asked for help in identifying a vehicle. Now, they state that this vehicle was actually parked near Monon High Bridge between noon and 5 p.m. on the day the girls disappeared. They state that this vehicle was actually parked at the CPS / DSS welfare office, that this was on the east side of County Road 300, next to Hoosier Heartland Highway. However, there were no details that were released about this vehicle, like the color, make, model, nothing at all. By November of 2019, Thomas Bruce was another potential suspect. This man, the reason that he was looked at is the fact that he had a similar stature and style to the man in the video. He even had a jacket said to look like the man had been wearing, and even a hat that it appears that the man was wearing from the video on the bridge. They've never confirmed his involvement. No further information has been released to the public recently that I've been able to find. There have been interviews, of course, with family and investigators in the case. However, everyone's been quite tight-lipped with this and then the investigation itself. I know that they're doing this, of course, in order to help them during their investigation. They want to be able to identify the murderer by any of the tips or things like that that come in. They want to know that they can be validated and that potentially only someone who knows the murder occurred, you know, heard about it, or was involved will be able to give some of these pieces of information to law enforcement. I completely understand why they're doing that. I think it's a great idea because that's something that they have to have, and it'll just go a long way in trial when it comes time. However, it has been 4 years now since the girls originally went missing and then were found the following day. They released a little bit of information in the beginning. 2 years later, of course, released a little bit more. Here we are. It's been 2 more years. I don't think it would hurt to have some more information that was released so that maybe it can trigger some memories of other people that day to bring potentially more leads and tips in, or at least bring in some fresh eyes on this case. Maybe by doing this and just releasing a little bit more, it may crack the case wide open. Here recently, there has been an app that has been released. It's called Crime Door. In fact, I downloaded it to take a look at it and see, you know, kind of what I could view from this as well. But this app actually allows you to get a 3D view of certain crime scenes. It also has investigation and case information under each one of these cases, where you can look at all of the information and then get a 3D view. We know that they were on Monon High Bridge. This is where the 3D view can be seen. I think what's really cool about this app is the fact that it gives you a fresh perspective. It allows you to kind of feel more in person there, to look at all of the details of this scene, and maybe could even give individuals some insight as to who this person could be that took the lives of the girls. This case has affected the residents of Delphi. One local describing that the town changed from the type of town where you can smile and greet one another to looking at everyone wearily, wondering if they were involved. It has also affected investigators like Doug Carter, who've been working so vigilantly on this case. In fact, he stated, "When I take my last breath, they will be on my mind." It's even affected many of us at home, who are invested in this case, hoping that one day what Doug Carter said in his 2019 press conference rings true sooner rather than later, and that justice for Abigail Williams and Liberty German, who would now be 17 and 18 years old, will finally be served. To the killer, who may even be in this room, we believe you are hiding in plain sight. You want to know what we know, and one day you will. Well, guys, this is all we know at this point about this particular case. There is not a lot to go on, and there isn't a lot of information out there on this one as of yet. Before we conclude today's video, I want to talk about a couple of things. Things that I've observed and noticed while I looked into this case myself. I also want to say that I believe that the girls were incredibly quick thinking and incredibly brave to be able to have the wherewithal for Libby to think to press record, to get a video and voice recording of her perpetrator. I know that for the longest time, they've been looking at people that have had a connection with Delphi. But could this person potentially be someone that was just passing through town? Could this have potentially been a hunter based on the way that they were dressed? You know, with the hat and the boots and the hoodie with a over jacket just in case of bad weather. It also appeared like the man was wearing almost what looks like a knife sheath or something on his hip in the photograph that's released, if you look at it. It makes me think that maybe he had a hunting knife on him potentially. Could this be a person who doesn't have a connection with Delphi at all? That maybe they were just passing through the area? Could this potentially be the work of a serial killer? Of course, there are a lot of questions that we could ask about this case. There are a lot of questions that we have still about the crime scene and what happened to the girls, how they were killed. And there are still answers that need to be given to the family and for justice for Abby and Libby. This man needs to be put behind bars. Now, despite all the questions that we can ask, there are a few questions that we need to ask, especially if calling in tips to discuss the case and potentially if we have any information on it. FBI, State Police, and the Delphi Police Department have stated that the questions that people need to ask themselves and information that should be gathered before calling in these tips would be the following. Number one, make sure to have the suspect's name, their date of birth, or approximate age. Number two, make sure to have a physical description of the person, their height, weight, hair color, eye color, etc. Number three, make sure to have the location or the address of where the person was last seen. Number four, any specific vehicle descriptions that can be given, such as license plate, the make, the model, the color, anything that can help. Another thing that needs to be asked is what is the motivation to this crime? And what is the person's connection to Delphi? And do they have one? If you or someone you know has information about the Delphi murders on the case of Abigail Williams and Liberty German, please call either the Indiana State Police at 1-800-382-7537 or the tip line for Abby and Libby's case at 844-459-5786. You can also email if this is better for you. And you can email the information to Abby and Libby at cacoshrf.com. Well, everyone, that is it for today on Murder and Mysteries with Megan. Did you know of this case before today? Do you think that whoever took the lives of Abby and Libby knew them personally? Or do you think that this was some random act of violence by someone who knew the area and was just lying in wait? What we do know is very little on this case, but I hope one day soon, with the advances in DNA technology and forensics, with having Libby's phone, videos, photos, and voice recordings of the perpetrator, along with much more evidence I'm sure that they have behind the scenes, Abby, Libby, their families, and the investigators working this case will find answers, and that this person or persons pay for what they did to Abigail Williams and Liberty German. Anyways, I hope that everyone has a safe and wonderful day. Until next time, my mystery lovers. Bye.